ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Now, Keller goes on to say, how amazing that men and women vehemently refuse and reject Christ as their shepherd, fearing that to acknowledge his ownership is to come under the rule of a tyrant. The good shepherd who loves and lay down his life for the sheep, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, has only the good of the sheep in his heart. I could think of so many worse things than to commit my life to someone who created me, loves me, died for me, and wants to lead me to green pastures now and forever. That's our Lord. I want you to take away from our study this morning how much he loves you and cares for you. And he's the good shepherd who is leading you. You just have to follow him. Satan wants to destroy lives. And I'm sure that most people say, hey, you know, I may not follow Jesus, but I'm not following Satan. He doesn't control me. There's only two options, guys. You're either following the Lord or you're following Satan. That's it. There's no middle ground. There's no, you can't sit on the top of the fence. It's too pointy. You're on one side or the other. And for these Jewish religious leaders, they were interested in their positions, their titles, the best places at the feast and stuff. It was all about them. And when danger came, when it got tough, when things didn't go their own way, they leave. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 2, listen to what the Lord says about these false shepherds in Israel. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. They were leading people away from God. By the time the Babylonians came and invaded the southern kingdom of Judah, they had idols on every street corner in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where the temple was, where they came together for the feast and worship God. And now they're worshiping false idols. And judgment became because of it. But these false Jewish religious leaders that were leading people away from God. God loves us and knows us intimately. I'm always amazed. You know, sometimes the Bible says things and you go, that's kind of weird, but he numbers the hairs of our head. Think about that. How many of you number the hairs of your head? I mean, if you're bald, I guess that's easy. But how many of you know? I mean, you may count them, and then 2 minutes later, the number changes, right? Because hair falls out, and new hair is growing in. God knows the exact number. It seems so weird, but that's how much he knows us. So if Almighty God, who knows us that much, what that means is he knows me better than I know myself. And so as he's the good shepherd leading me, I could trust him because he knows exactly what I need. Yeah, but that path is a dangerous path, exactly. But who's leading you? The good shepherd is leading you. And you may have to go down that dangerous path, that really difficult path, because it's what's best for your life. I mean, I know for myself, and I can only speak for myself, I would never pick all the things that have happened in my life. I would never pick those and say, you know, I want to go through that. There is no way. I want the easy road, you know? Playing baseball, just lob the ball to me so I can knock it out of the park, okay? Don't throw the slider or the curveball or any of those other things. I want it easy. You know there's no growth in that. And that's what God is doing. He's always stretching our faith. He's helping us to grow, helping us to mature. And if we understand that he loves us that much, then can't you trust him? See, that's something we have to all decide upon. Lord, why'd that happen to me? And there's a lot of people who go through really difficult times that just walk away. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm done. The good shepherd is always there. God is always there wooing him, wooing that person, drawing them back because he loves us. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We hear the voice of our Lord through the word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, we will obey him. That just should make sense. I mean, we do things for the Lord out of love. And I realize that some think, well, you know, that obedience thing, you know, isn't that legalistic? Not if you love the person. My wife and I do not have a legalistic marriage relationship. I do things for her because I love her. And she does things for me because she loves me, not because of some legalistic thing. And don't we do that for the Lord? I don't do all the things that I do for the Lord because I'm bound to do them. God says, you have to do this. No, I get to do it. It's a choice on my part. And I want to do it. And here's the thing for us. Are we willing to love the unlovable? Those that we may have disagreements with, those who may not be kind to us. Are we willing? It's not that we can't. You know, I've done enough marriage counseling. I just can't love them anymore. I can't love her anymore. No, you can. But that's a choice on your part. You've chosen not to do that. And the only way you're going to be able to love people like Jesus loves us is by surrender. And I realize that's a dirty word today. No one wants to surrender, you know. Everyone wants to be in charge. That's just part of the curse. You know, man wants to lord over his wife. The wife wants to be in control of her husband, and they fight amongst each other. That's the curse. But Jesus says you need to surrender to me. It all has to do with trust then. You're not going to surrender to someone that you don't trust. You're not going to follow someone that you can't trust. But we can follow the Lord because we can trust him. He's the good shepherd. Remember what Jesus said in John 13:34? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. Love is a big deal. And it's not just a brotherly love. This is an agape love, an unconditional love. It doesn't matter what you've done to me, I'm still going to love you. And that's a tough one, but it all is based upon surrender. Am I going to surrender to the will of God or my will? That's a tough one. Can you love people? If God is love, and then being a child of God, what should be manifested in our lives? Oh, love. And again, we have to be careful in the days we're living in. Because it's really hard to get angry at all the things that are going on. All the immorality that's going on. But we are to love people. It doesn't mean we agree with their sin. Not at all. But we love them. You know, they were mad, the Jewish religious leaders were mad at Jesus. Why? Because he ate with lawyers, publicans, and sinners. Well, isn't that who he came to save? So as his representatives, we're to reach out to the ones that don't know the Lord, to share with them. You know, that agape love is an action word. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten son. There it is. Love in action. You know, you can read in 1 Corinthians 13, the whole definition of agape love. And there's many characteristics, but all those characteristics are verbs, action words. They're not feelings. You know, we go by feelings. Whoa, feelings, right? That's our big deal today is I just don't feel that I love them anymore. It's not a feeling. It's an act of your will. What do you choose to do? God is love, and we need to love people. So the good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and the good shepherd's going to unite his sheep. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is very exciting to me. You know why? Because this is speaking about Gentiles. This is speaking about us. I love that. We are not of this fold. The Jews were. But here he has another group that he's going to bring in and unite together. I like what Clark said. He said, "Do not imagine that I shall lay down my life for the Jews, exclusively of all other people. No, I shall die also for Gentiles, for by the grace, the merciful design and loving purpose of God, I am to taste death for every man." Hebrews 2:9. "And though they are not of this fold now, those among them that believe shall be united with the believing Jews and make one fold under one shepherd." That's what God has done. He's brought down the middle wall of division that separated Jews and Gentiles. Paul spoke of it in Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. Those walls that came down. He said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh that enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, Paul spoke about the walls of separation coming down, and so did Jesus. You know what's interesting? You know, I kind of looked on the internet that in the world today there are over 45,000 Christian denominations. I don't think that includes non-denominations, so can you imagine? 45,000. Back in Jesus' day, there was only two, Jew and Gentile, right? We brought them together. Now we've divided them so much. And again, we are not to unite just to unite. We're to unite in truth, in the foundational truths of God. And Paul in Ephesians is dealing with this division between Jews and Gentiles. Understand, they didn't get along. The Jews believed that the fires of hell were created for Gentiles, and that the worst Jew, Father Abraham, would pluck out of the fires of hell because he was a Jew. But that's not what God is saying, and he never said it even in the Old Testament. Now, understand the temple area. There was the temple proper, the naos in the Greek. It was the holy place, the holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was at. The high priest could enter it once a year on the Day of Atonement. And then there was the Hieron. That was the precincts around the temple area. And so as you went into the temple area, there were different courtyards that led up to the naos, or the temple proper. There was the court of the priest. If we start in the center with the Holy of Holies and then the holy place, there was the court of the priest. It contained the temple building itself. Like I said, the holy place, Holy of Holies. This is where the priests would gather. Okay, this is where they had access to. They would offer sacrifices and all. But then you start moving outward. You go to the court of the Israelites. And you would enter this court through the gate called Nicanor's Gate. And it was a huge gate made of Corinthian bronze. They said it took 20 men to open it. I don't know, you know, I wasn't there, but 20 men, that's big gate. That's where the Jewish men assembled for the temple services. And understand, the Jewish men and the Jewish women do not gather together. When we were in Israel, we were at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. They had a big bar mitzvah, you know, and all the men and the boys were there that were being bar mitzvahed were on one section. And then there was this big curtain that separated the men from the women. And it's so funny because you see these women, they put up these little chairs and stand up just to look over to see the bar mitzvah. I guess they have ways of getting around it. But this is where the men would gather. After that came the court of the women. And you'd have to go through the beautiful gate of the temple. Any Jew could enter it, but this is as far as the women could go. From the court of the women, now again, we're going outward. You would descend some five steps to a level area. There's a 5-foot stone barricade that went around the entire temple enclosure. And then there were 14 more steps that descended to the court of the Gentiles, also known as the outer court. And this was the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. And there was, again, stone inscriptions that basically said that if you're a Gentile, you go any farther, you put your life in your own hands. This is as far as a Gentile could go. And thus, it was a visible reminder of the separation between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul is saying here in Ephesians that the Jew and Gentile are one in Christ. What happened? Well, that middle wall of separation, that dividing wall, is taken down, and now both Jews and Gentiles can worship God together through Jesus Christ. It's interesting because, you know, the court of the Gentiles was to be a place where Gentiles could hear about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It ended up being a place where the money changers were, where they ripped the people off who were coming to worship God. It was a horrible place. It was really a place of thieves and robbers, not a place of worship. And, you know, think about churches today that keep people from God because they don't dress a certain way or act a certain way. You know, here, yes, all are welcome. It doesn't matter what you wear. Why do I wear a suit and tie? Because I like to wear a suit and tie. You know, when I worked in the hospital, I always wore scrubs, pajamas, really. They were really comfortable, but I like to dress up. So Sundays, I get dressed up. And why do we have to look or act a certain way to come into a church? See, those walls of division are torn down. The common denominator is Jesus Christ. Well, what if someone's not saved? Well, they're welcome too, aren't they? Aren't we here to worship God, to hear from him? And if there are people that don't know the Lord, absolutely. Because God's word is living and powerful. The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as they hear God's word, they may come to saving faith. Now, this is not our outreach to bring people in. We go into the highways and byways, and we compel people to come in by sharing Jesus with them. But understand, there's no distinction, Paul said, between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said it in Romans 10, verses 12 and 13. So why are we putting up, these walls of division? This is just my personal take, guys. I'm not a big fan of, having messianic churches where they're Jews who've come to saving faith. I'm not a big fan of having biker churches or cowboy churches or whatever churches. Can't we all gather together? Years ago, when I went to a conference out in Costa Mesa, California with Pastor Chuck, the most wonderful thing I saw in that church was that there were people wearing suits and ties, shorts, blue jeans. They had earrings in their ear, long hair, short hair, no hair, leather jackets, big chains, and they're all worshiping God with their arms around each other, singing praises to God. Why? Because it's all about Jesus, not how you dress. We have to be careful. In fact, Paul said in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus came for the whole purpose that he might taste death for everyone, not just a specific group of people, Jews and Gentiles. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And who? Out of the seed of Abraham, right? How will they be blessed? Through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. You see, again, the Jewish religious leaders knew the scriptures. They just didn't apply them. They should have realized that salvation was coming to the Gentiles. God didn't exclude them. Look at verse 17 here in John 10. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So the good shepherd freely cares for his sheep. I'm thankful for that. God doesn't say, hey, I'm glad you're saved. Good luck. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? I need him to guide me each and every day of my life. And what Jesus did, he's given us everlasting life. He went to the cross at Calvary because he loves us. He cares for us. He understood that sin had separated us from God. And so he came to rectify that problem and gave his life for us so we could live with him. I can't imagine living my life apart from God. I mean, it's kind of funny. I have this Garmin watch, and Julie likes to, when I run, if I take my phone with me, she can watch where I'm running. So I've got all these different award things that I'm with Garmin. So I like to, one's a walking one. So when I'm cutting the grass, I don't want to just waste my time. So I start my watch so I'll get credit for all my walking. But on the map, it shows me going around in circles like this. So Julie posted in Facebook, Joe's lost again. He can't find his way home. But that is the reality. Apart from God, I can't find my way. I may think I'm going in the right direction, but what if I'm not? You see, God is really very good at guiding us if we're willing to listen. All the things, in 27 years, what God has done in this church, how he's led us to various things with the radio station and this building and all these other things that we've done, he's the one who's led us, because I was on the side going, we can't do that. And God said, no, that's what you need to do. And it's amazing. If you follow the Good Shepherd, he's going to guide you. The sad point is, after Jesus said all this, we see the Jewish religious leaders confused. Look at verse 19. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of the one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You know, doesn't Jesus cause division amongst people? I mean, you could talk about a lot of things, probably not politics, but you could talk about a lot of things, but you bring Jesus into the picture, forget about it. Forget about it. And it's either accepting Jesus or rejecting him. Those are the two sides. There's really no middle ground. Here we see some of them saying, you know, he's a madman. He's got a demon. Another said, he's got to be God. He opened the eyes of the blind. No one's done that. We've never seen that in the Old Testament, but we know that the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. That's what the scriptures teach. So there was that division. And tragically, you could either accept it or reject it. But if you reject it, you're rejecting the truths of God found in the Word of God. You know, so often people have moved so far away from the Word of God and have made a God out of their own imagination. But that's what idols are all about. Go look at the idols of the pagans that they worshipped, and they're these very grotesque statues. But that's out of the imagination of man's heart. But again, either he is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to save us from our sins, or he is a madman. He's not a good teacher if he is not the Son of God. Why? Because he lied. I mean, really, are you going to send your kids to school to a teacher that's going to lie to your children? Of course not. You want them to tell them the truth, to teach them the things they need to learn. So Jesus cannot be a good teacher and not be Almighty God. So those are the two places you go. But man, you read the scriptures, it's really easy to see that Jesus is Almighty God. And I understand people say, well, you believe the Bible. I don't, so I just want to believe what I want to believe. I guess my question would be, how do you know what you believe is right? You know, some people say, hey, when I get to heaven, the big guy and I will just talk, we'll work it all out, we'll be fine. Well, he's not the big guy, and I guarantee you're not going to be using those words when you stand before him. But how do you know? Well, I just feel that I'm right. Have you ever been wrong with your feelings? Well, everyone has. Well, so how do you know you're right? And they may say, well, how do I know that I'm right now? Why do you say you believe Jesus is God and he died for our sins? Because of what we have here in the scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation. It stands the test of time. Written between 1400, 1500 years, some 40 different authors, from kings to peasants, on very controversial subjects, and all in unity. It's the unfolding love story of God for sinful man. Yeah, 2 pages, maybe 3 pages, 2.5 pages, speak of God creating the heavens and the earth. Everything was very good. And then chapter 3 comes and everything is very bad because sin enters the world through Adam. And the rest of the story from Genesis chapter 3 through Revelation 22 is God restoring man back because sin separated man from God. I don't know if you remember, this is several years ago, Bob Dylan had a song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. And it was an amazing song. He said, and I'll just give you part of it, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. That's the reality. You know, you are going to serve either the Lord or the devil, whether you believe it or not. But God cares for sinful man, so much so that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us in our place. But it's a choice then. Are we going to accept it or reject it? Everyone has a shepherd. Everyone's being led by someone. Maybe led by the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. I know for me, I love what David said in Psalm 23:3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, or the right paths for his name's sake. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for leading me in the right paths. Help me to follow. Help me to take those steps of faith because it's not always easy. So look at what we've seen. We've seen the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd unites his sheep. The good shepherd freely cares for his sheep. You should leave here walking on air, knowing how much Jesus loves you, cares for you, will guide you and care for you each and every day of your life. Never forget that. He is the good shepherd. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you for these words because they're such an encouragement to us. And Lord, we just pray that if any are struggling here with this morning, not understanding your love for them, help them to see your love is unconditional. And that if there are any here listening on the radio or the internet that don't know you, Lord, I pray, open their eyes, soften their heart, Help them to come to saving faith, to understand that they're sinners separated from God and they need to repent and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. And Lord, for all of us, help us to walk in that victory that you've given us and help us to manifest the qualities of the Good Shepherd, caring for people, reaching out to them, loving them. We thank you so much, Lord, for your example to us and how much you care for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.